¿Cómo?
Ojalá que se mejore pronto.
Yeah. That's right. Hope be a little better now. No, I'm, Lord willing, I'm good. How y'all doing? How you breathing, brother? Yeah. There you go. That was loud. Sorry. That's good. While we're turning there, boy, what a song. I'll build my life on you, right? It ain't just words, folks. It ain't just words. I said it before. I love that. And why can we build our life on Jesus? Because He is faithful. He's the rock. He is stable. Ain't no other rock like Him, right? Mm-mm. We can trust Him. Is that rock that came out of heaven, not hewn by human hands, that'll fill the whole earth, right? Remember Daniel seeing that statue in Nebuchadnezzar's dream? And he says, there's a rock coming from heaven. Everything else that mankind has tried to build up and set up, the things that we value are strong, and to you and me, they are strong. Empires, nations, armies. He says, when the Lord comes to establish His kingdom, the rock will come to establish His rock on this little rock. And He says it's going to grow and expand and fill the whole earth. Ain't nothing going to stop it. Amen. Everything else that we are afraid of, that we fear, that can be stopped. Guys, the gates of hell can be stopped, right? Satan can't beat everything. In fact, Jesus said what? He says, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Doesn't mean it ain't going to be hard. It just says, ain't going to win. My rock cannot be shaken. His faithfulness is great. Today I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 5. We'll look at the scriptures starting in verse 33. Jesus has been talking about our, and I say our because it's not just the Pharisees, right? Anybody ever like to read something in the Bible and say, that's for someone else, but not for me? We get grumpy when we see people in positions of power having rules for, rules for thee and not for me, right? How often do I read the Bible, though, sometimes and say, well, that was for thee and not for me. And then it turns around going, ooh, that is for me, isn't it? That's for me. Even the stuff I would rather not sometimes, but here it is, because he's talking about the misunderstanding of the law and the Pharisees as they have taught it. And he's saying, guys, this was not the purpose. Last week was, it was not so from the beginning, right? Jesus says, you guys have walked in this, focusing on aspects of this divorce and marriage, but you missed the point. This is how it started. And even so, Jesus then talks about oaths, and we'll talk about this now. As we read together, my version may be a little different than yours. It says, and again, you have heard that the ancients were told. How many of us feel like we're the ancients that were told? Don't say yes. That's a harsh word. I think better translations are out there than the ancients. But you're talking about, of course, the people who came before. God spoke to them. You've heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. Here's one of the good buts, right? But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by the earth, for it's the footstool of His feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you can't make one hair white or black. But you let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond this is of evil. Or what some scriptures might say of the evil one. Yeah. Satan's a bad enough dude. I'll lump him into that category. Now, how many of us have likely taken some sort of oath or vow in one form or another? If y'all married, you know you did. You put vows in there when you said them, for better or for worse. You ever find it funny sometimes? I don't know. I've only had and probably done 5, 6, 7 weddings, and it's always funny when you come to those vows, because you ask people, so what would you like your, this can be personalized. What would you like your vows to be? You know, some people have these beautiful planned out vows and it's just gorgeous. And sometimes people say, I'll just do what the traditional ones are. Okay. So I throw that in there for them. Then they look at some of those and going, maybe I need to lower the standards a little bit or change or even ingest because, well, that's kind of a good thing because you recognize how serious it is to make a vow, to keep a vow. How many of us have made a promise that we discovered we were not able to keep? That make you feel good? No. How many of us have made a promise you never intended to keep? I think we can understand that. Even in the language here that is given. My voice is cracking. Sorry. Second puberty. No, I need to be softer spoken, I guess, today. Let's keep it from squeaking. We look at the scriptures and we understand that oaths are indeed serious. Oaths matter. Our words matter, don't they? Do our oaths and our words matter to God? Yes. Amen. You know it. Do our oaths and our words matter to others? How many of us are getting through life because we are trusting that people are lying? I'm just saying. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I've had kids promise I'm never getting in the candy jar again. I know that like this, there's two options. And even the word in Greek in this. Now, Jesus was probably speaking Aramaic to people he was teaching. But I kind of like that in the Greek we're given, we have a duality. It's almost ambiguous. Swear falsely in this context could be that you are either swearing something that you may not be able to fulfill. In fact, maybe you have every intention of doing this, but it just doesn't happen. That word could also mean you swore something you had no intention of fulfilling. And y'all know that we can do things for a variety of reasons. We feel that we're at gunpoint. We feel that there's pressure. We feel that it's the right thing to do, but we're not really sure. How many of us have made a promise and we're kind of 50-50 on it, going, yeah, sure, I'll do that. I can probably, it's going to be okay, yeah. And you're just like, oh no, what did I just say yes to? Or what did I just say no to? There is pressure. How many of y'all knew you could, back in the time, maybe you're from a time where it seemed that you could typically trust people at their word? Where a handshake meant a lot. I've heard of stories, guys, of some folks that it's just, you knew that, and I'm sure I've met some of you and others who were like that, that they were so faithful that it reminded me of a picture of God. Because when God says something to you and I, does He need to back it up by an oath? No, He doesn't. When God says something to you or I, does He need to give you a handshake to seal it? You know, the funny thing is, a lot of times in Scripture, when God makes a covenant with like Abraham or something, He goes through the motions and does what was common in that culture, whether it's having a sacrifice or bringing something. He would do that and enter into covenant. Did God need to? No. Even in Hebrews 6, it says Jesus offered an oath and there was nothing higher that He could swear by. Because part of that idea, especially in the Hebrew culture of swearing by something, was that you're appealing to a higher power, right? Something better than you, above you. And there ain't no higher than God. So what did Jesus do when He had to swear an oath by something? I say had to. I don't know if He had to, but He did. It says He swore an oath by nothing higher than Himself because there was nothing higher He could swear by. And you know why it says that following in the rest of that? Not because of Him, but for you and for me as a testimony, because we already ought to take God at His word. Should we say amen? Amen? Can you ever turn to God and say, you didn't promise? If He said it, He promised it. Everything out of His word is truth. And He says, this is what it is and what I've spoken. He said He did it for your sakes so that we might trust, not because He's unfaithful, but because we struggle with trusting and believing. So God has gone the extra mile to place the extra little bits before us. And even in some cases, in historical context, there were oaths commanded of certain positions. But Jesus' complaint with the Pharisees is that, like you and me, maybe sometimes, maybe often, has misunderstood the point. And He's talking about the oaths they were given. And the oaths that they were doing, because there were oaths, again, some parts of it were just for allegiance. To swear by God could just mean simply Not that I'm commanded, I have to swear everything by God, but almost swearing allegiance to. You're making a declaration when you're in a contract or something that Yahweh is my God. I swear by Him because He is my standard. Even in the Old Testament, sometimes when it makes reference to that, that you're going to swear by Yahweh or swear by the Lord, the next statement is you shall have no other gods, right? He says, for there's no other God. The idea was, he says, I'm swearing by Yahweh because I don't serve any other false God. Oftentimes the swearing in that format was simply a recognition of existing practice, but a way to give glory to God. And not to things, not to man, not to myself, but trusting on Him for its fulfillment. What did James say in chapter 5? When addressing some of these things, he says, some of you might say, tomorrow or this year, I will go and do this or that. He says, guys, you don't even know what's coming tomorrow. My kids don't like me for that. Dad, can we do this tomorrow? Well, if the Lord wills. That's not an answer, Dad. I said, I don't know what's happening tomorrow. You know, I'm silly. And I can tell them, you know, sons, it's my intention to do that with you, yes. There are things that can pop up, right? Like James says, if it is the Lord's will, it just means to speak with enough humility because do you guys control the seasons? To control the waves and the times? If you do, there's going to be a lot of people that are mad at you and you owe an answer to, right? How many of you all control the outcomes of elections? Talk to me. Let's get together. Hey, no. But I know who does and who can. That's why when he swore by himself, because he could swear by no higher, the same thing with us. We would want to swear by an ultimate authority over all matters. But yet the Pharisees, and not just them, because they didn't even show up on the grand scale of things till maybe about a few hundred years before Jesus was walking the earth. They were a religious movement, a zealous movement that rose up out of conditions, out of bondage in Babylon, out of coming back and having pagan empires coming in, desecrating the temple, threatening to destroy their way of life. 200 years before Jesus' time, when Antiochus Epiphanes was ruling in that area, you had a copy of the scriptures, death. Circumcised your son, death. Made an offering to the Lord, death. Anybody have those fears now today? Not that I know of, not here. Anyways, I mean that, not here. We don't have those kind of things. But these guys had started to make oaths, and it's went from oaths just about to the Lord. You guys remember when the Lord said, don't take my name in vain? Yeah, we all know that, right? And what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, I don't know where the accent came from, but what does it mean in vain? But vain, empty, smoke, it disappears. There's no substance to it, right? Anybody else been disappointed when you bite into something and there's nothing in the center that should have been there? Someone at the candy factory fell asleep and you missed your caramel filling? It means you're expecting something. He says, if you abuse my name and use it inappropriately, it becomes meaningless. Anybody else feeling inflation at the grocery store? When you use your currency inappropriately, it can become meaningless. Oh my goodness. Take out a second mortgage to buy some bacon. You know? Anyways, moving on. There you go. I tell you, someone just told me, a few minutes ago, is it Joe, saying, guess what? Coffee prices are expected to double in the next year. You guys are going to see a sleepier, more tired pastor on Sunday. That is probably a good thing, at least for today. My wife was funny. I said, could you make me a cup of coffee this much? And she made it a little too small. I said, no, I would have liked more, please. So, whoop! God bless her for being so thoughtful, and you are reaping the whirlwind because of it. So, I don't blame her. Just a moment in jest. But I am blessed, and we are blessed, and we recognize that our oaths, our words are so very important. Point one, the image of our integrity in our commitments. I know we sang about it. I know we're preaching it. Can you guys just say to God for a minute, great is your faithfulness. Ooh, you're preaching. James, that's later. Yes, you betcha. Well, let's consider that the Spirit of God. That's right. In whom there is no variation, no shadow of turning, no shifting shadow. You can't look in the, oh, look, he's changing. He's different. No. He don't change. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord's loving kindnesses or mercies or love indeed never ceases. Never ceases. Why? Because it's His character. God's character does not change. He's good. You know, the only time we really see that I can recall in Scripture a changing in the Lord is when He added humanity to Himself to save people like me and you. So that He might be more forever associated with even His own creation. In humility, He did these things. Philippians 2, have this attitude in yourselves as that of Christ Jesus, who did not consider Himself so great, though being in the very likeness, the image of God. Guys, how many images of God are there out there? We're not allowed to make them. Don't worship them. He said, man and woman I have made in my image, to bear my representation to my creation. And then, as Colossians says, He was the perfect image of God because you and I weren't. So God Himself became the image for you and I so that we might perceive the invisible, to see the untouchable, to be in the presence of the unapproachable. He says, this is my image. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know me, you know what God is like, because that's me. That is powerful. Because when we enter into agreements, whether we fail ourselves in fulfilling an original oath, or even if we dare say enter into something falsely with intent to not fulfill, do we bear God's image in our faithfulness? No. Like I said, guys, how many of us believe, and I know that we value, do you not value those relationships that you have for people you can trust? Doesn't mean they're always going to say the things you want to hear. But you can know that they are going to be honest with you. Yeah, it's what we all need. Former owner of the 49ers. Can't remember his name at the time. Barta something. Thank you. Little guy, right? Hey, let's be nice to the Niner fans, Mr. Jeff. You're booing it. I've shared it before, I know, but he was asked by someone on a flight next to him, having the opportunity to chat with the somewhat of a celebrity, at least for a few hours as they were on a flight, said, what do you value in your organization? How do you hire people to put around you? What do you think his number one answer was? Education? Maybe ability? Loyalty. He said, guys, I value loyal people, people I can trust. People who I know that they will be faithful to me. And you know what that means? That means whether telling me the right or wrong thing. We all don't want yes people, do we? Yes men, as they say. Someone just to say whatever they think will make us happy and move on. We value those people because so many times in life we're now looking at whether it's areas of our government or the media or even humanity. Maybe it's your coworkers, maybe it's your kids that you look at, and you have to look at it saying, I would love to trust everything that comes out of your mouth, but I have to kind of assume it's not going to be trustworthy. Guys, from the beginning it was not so, and it's not meant to be. And if we develop habits of commitments which either are falsely made or easily broken, we mar the image further of Jesus, in whose image we were made and meant to represent. I know you guys all know this. It's common stuff, but it just is to remind us to be careful in what we say. to be careful in what we speak. The purpose of it was to make sure we understand that a promise to the Lord means something. If we're invoking His name in the Old Testament, it was very serious, whether we spoke about it in Deuteronomy or Numbers, talking about oaths that were required, or make sure if you make an oath to the Lord, you need to keep it. But you know what it also says? If a man does not swear to the Lord in these circumstances, it's not sin to him. Just because we can swear to the Lord doesn't mean we have to. Can I get an amen? However, should it be that we are so faithful in our conduct and words that what we say we're sure to do? If only it were so. Can I get an amen on that? That we desire that would be it? Oh yeah. Could you imagine what the world would be like if we could listen to Kim Jong-un and we could trust everything he said? That you could hear the news media and whatever you heard was verbatim correct. Could you imagine if during the primaries of an election, candidates said exactly what they were going to do? Can you believe that? How many of us have just excused those things? Well, those are just the promises before the election. We knew they were all lies. Guys, I have argued in conversations for a person telling the other party, well, you know they were lying, and it's like, I'm defending this. Well, that's not good. Sometimes I've had that happen to me. Well, you knew they were lying. It's like, yeah, but I was afraid they were telling the truth. Sometimes what I've heard weren't promises I wanted to have been kept. But that is what we are there for, or what we are to, is a point of distrust so much that we rarely believe oaths. My aunt and a cousin of mine, just a simple thing. Aunt went back to college, got her master's degree so she could continue in her profession at a higher degree and higher level, gain more knowledge. And she was asked, when she was having a hard time paying off her student loans later in life, by her daughter, Mom, don't you know this can be forgiven you? You can have loan forgiveness. And I think by the grace of God and her character, she said, I signed those loan papers and I made an agreement. I'm going to take this much money to do this much school, and in this much time, I will pay it off. Just because we can get out of our commitments, does that mean we should seek it? No. Sometimes God is very gracious. Consider Jephthah, folks. A judge of the Old Testament, somebody who kind of had an interesting upbringing. But the point is that God had called him to be a leader of Israel in battle. And he made a hasty oath, didn't he? If you know the story, he was moved by God, empowered by him to be a leader. And then he makes a hasty vow. He says, Lord, I promise that if you do this for Israel, that you deliver us, I am going to sacrifice the first thing that comes out of that door when I come home. Folks, who would ever promise that? I just look at it and go, well, why would you do that? You know? Why would you promise that? And to his, what became a broken heart. Look at what happened, if you know. When he came home from a victorious battle God had delivered, who came out to greet him with dancing and joy? But his only daughter comes out dancing in joy. And what does he do? Well, I've got to keep this. I don't know about you, but you ever start having to weigh those? What does it mean? What is the greater sin? Oh, boy. You want to keep your promises to the Lord, but why on earth would you promise murder? And does that continue to honor the Lord when you've promised to do sin? Well, I promised I was going to do this horrible thing. I better fulfill it. How about you not fulfill it and deal with your own consequences? Don't make other people pay for them too. Oh, sometimes we just are backwards. Sometimes some people, I say we because I know that's me, and I know it can be me. We look at the importance of commitments and how we've abused them because the Pharisees had encouraged and developed a system where we can start to make oaths by other things, right? I didn't swear by the Lord. I swore by the temple or the gold in the temple or the offering, right, as Jesus says. Now, not only does it appear that they got their priorities a little bit backwards, right? Because when Jesus is continuing this, because he continues this issue with the Pharisees, discussing this with them. In Matthew 23, he says, "Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, that's nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated." That makes sense to anybody else? I'm sure there was a reason. How many of y'all know everything we do has a reason? Even crazy people have reasons for what they do, right? There's a reason why they did it, and they thought it was a good thing at the time. He says, "You fools and blind men, what's more important, the gold or the temple? That sanctified the gold. And whether whoever swears by the altar, that's nothing. But whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated. You blind men, what's more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies it? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar is swearing both by it and everything on it. Whoever swears by the temple swears both by the temple and not just the gold in it. Well, not even that. By him who dwells within." Because that's the crux, isn't it? Whoever swears by heaven, he continues, swears both by the throne of God and him who sits on it. That's why Jesus says, don't swear by heaven. That's God's throne. Don't swear by Jerusalem. That's his footstool. Guys, don't even swear by your own heads. Now, we might say a little stress can bring these white hairs out, right? Yes, it does. I've had plenty of kids look at me and watch through the years and say, "Man, shave off that beard. It makes you look so old because there's so much gray in it." I said, "Yeah, that's okay. Sometimes I need to be reminded I ought to act more like the gray in my beard." That's not a bad thing. But we know he's saying, look, guys, no matter what you pick to swear by, whose is it? Who's behind it? God. You can't even swear by your own head because you know what? It's God who's preserving you, God who's growing you, God who's even changing and developing and making. Anything we can pick, we really don't have much authority with or control over, but it's God. He says, guys, wouldn't it be nice? I was singing that through Costless the other week. Wouldn't it be nice? Dot. But I was thinking about this. Wouldn't it be nice if all of our yeses were indeed yeses and our noes, noes? We don't need anything beyond this. Why? Because if we're faithful, as Christ is faithful, I don't need to make an oath. I don't need to add to it. Even the word we use today, swearing, right? It means we're saying, number one, inappropriate words. Number two, why do we say them? Because we're adding emphasis to a statement. Further beyond, ouch, I stubbed my toe. It's ow, right? Oh my goodness. Man, I had some sore toes and I had about a 90-pound kid jump on them yesterday. Now, poor guy, I screamed in pain. I did not say something bad. Praise the Lord. It was more one of those monosyllabic Hebrew terms. It was ah! And he just jumped afraid. And I said, son, it's not your fault. You didn't know. My foot hurts. I hurt my toes pretty good. And you just crushed them. So it's not, you didn't know. You know, it's okay. It's not your fault. It's an accident, right? Every dad's had that kid just run into you, hit you, kick you, stomp you. And you're just like, son, you got to be gentle with your old man sometimes. You know, I remember that before when I was a kid. Adults are not jungle gyms. I was too. I had no idea what a jungle gym was. It sounded like a Tarzan character, a jungle gym. It's like Tarzan's brother. I had no idea. I figured it out later, though. In preschool, they taught me, no, that's a jungle gym. I go, I thought he was a guy. You know? But we know that we can get hurt. But we recognize how important this is, and I should continue on for your sake and mine. Point number two is the image of integrity in our words. The image of integrity in our words. We recognize how important not just our promises indeed are, but our words. Yes and yes, no and no. That should serve as much as any oath we could possibly offer. Especially when we use our words for things that we ought not to use them for. You guys know how important it is to be able to take something at someone at their word and believe it. Some of you maybe have been following the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. It's interesting how many different points of view we have from cell phone cameras and drone footage, FBI stuff released. And it's like, back in the day, What was your only source of information about an event?
Witnesses.
Eyewitnesses. And if you swore falsely, you know, part of what we're going to go and do next week is eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, right? Some of the way they applied that was that if you bear false witness within a court of law, the punishment because of your lie that may have been inflicted on another, may it be inflicted to you. If you, because of your deceitfulness, have brought about a death penalty, what does that mean to you if you are discovered? Death. If it's fines, then fines. That eye for eye, tooth for tooth was meant to be a limiter on punishment, to provide a discouraging outcome for people, either if they commit crimes, but it was adapted in the same way for those who lie, because eyewitness testimony was so absolutely important. That not just our promises, but even the very words we speak, because of time will jump, my bad. Last point to fill in your blanks, the image of integrity that builds trust. The image of integrity that builds trust. We all know the world and we know ourselves. We know our struggles. I say we know ourselves. We know in part, right? And any message that's like this could make us reflect on promises we've made and not fulfilled. Marriage covenants we've broken. Promises to your kids that maybe never happened. And we can feel remorse. How many of us are very glad that we serve a faithful Christ who has promised? There you go, Debbie. Yes, we serve a faithful Lord who is perfectly faithful. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Great is your faithfulness. As was said earlier by Miss Rhonda, there ain't no changing in Him. There is no changing in the Lord. But do you and I change? Yes. Hopefully for the better. Amen? And we can get that. One of the things to remember as we go, and I should be wrapping up, is the faithfulness of God is meant to be reflected in our actions and words. We talk about a witness for Christ and how it does consist of witnessing from the Scriptures of a true faithful gospel. That is that Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life and died so that the penalty of sin that was incurred might be paid in full, so that anyone, whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have eternal life. That's good news. I also demonstrate the good news of Jesus Christ by my words and my actions and my commitment. We are the eyewitnesses of Jesus in our lives. And the other people are watching us as eyewitnesses. Amen? I made a commitment recently to somebody I met. And by the grace of God, I am endeavoring to fulfill it. Sometimes I look at it and think, this is going to be hard. If you're thinking it's you, it's not. They're not in here. Don't worry. But I look at that and say, this could be difficult. And I want to fulfill that because in this case, it's the person I'm witnessing to and trying to share Jesus. And they've heard my words, but in our relationship, they have yet to experience my personal faithfulness and my accountability. And I know that if I am slow to bring about what I have committed to, not only do I sully my own reputation, but that of Jesus as well. Because if I'm Jesus to these people, it doesn't matter how much scripture I can quote at them. And I don't mean to put that down. I think the Spirit brings you those scriptures. But it may also bring into question Christ and His character, or at least His effectiveness in my life or in lives of others. Why should I trust Jesus when I see what His people are like? So I would hope that all of us would recognize that we bear the image of Christ for His integrity in our oaths and our commitments, that our yeses ought to be as firm as any covenant or contract signed. My yeses be yes and my noes no. And I don't preach it because I think I'm doing that. I preach it because I know I need to. We're preaching it because that's what the Word of God says. You ever feel like sometimes as you go through the Scripture, you just keep getting punched in the gut? Remember, Paul said, the law wasn't written to... He didn't say this. I'm just saying, we're getting to Paul's part. The law wasn't written to make me happy. It was written to guide me to Christ. Because my happiness is not in that I stand condemned in the law. My happiness is that there is a faithful God who has promised to deliver me. Not out from its practice or its character, but away from its punishment and a transformation that I might begin to embody its character. That my yeses will equal more true yeses and my noes will equal more true noes, because the work that Jesus Christ does in a believer's heart, as our minds are transformed by their renewing by God, as the heart is conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, as we have been transformed, made into new creatures, new creations through faith in Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of God. Grace. It's free, but it didn't come cheap. There's a difference between free and cheap, isn't there? He paid it all. Free to me, not to Him. But in this we have our hope. My hope for my yeas and nays also rests in Jesus, because when He promised to take us home who trust in Him, He is perfectly faithful and able. There is no power in heaven or hell that can conquer our Lord. He made it. He made us. Let's bear His image well, encourage others to do the same. And for my own self, to be more mindful of what my lips let out, because if it came out of here, you know it started in here and here. Lord, cleanse us, heaven. Lord, cleanse us, please. Our minds and our hearts and our tongues, may You transform us within, that we might bear Your image better as Christ did so perfectly. And we trust You for this work, but let us not grow lazy or unappreciative, even though we live in a world where truth is confused, where people don't know what truth is, or they don't even believe it exists. But You have established Your word. Your word is established in Zion. Ain't nothing going to tear it down. It stands forever. May we hold to You. May You empower us so that we could live out this, that we would not have the need to add oath upon oath because of our own untrustworthiness, but that we might be Christians of character, men and women of faithfulness as You are faithful, that our witness to people is not just an eyewitness of who You are and what You have done, but also what You are doing in our lives and making us more like You. Pray that our witness would be so much closer daily to what the Scripture says of Your character, Jesus, that we might shine for You, that our words would be true. And may we pray, as James had said, that in Your will these things be done, recognizing that I can promise by nothing that is not Yours, and that Your desires, may they be first and foremost. And if You allow in Your good will that we do these things, praise You. And if You don't, praise You yet more. Your will is better and best. May they align, that our wills might be conformed into Yours, that the desires of our hearts are just as pleasing in Yours. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our one and only Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Folks, if you want to stand up, please, and praise our Lord another